Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Back-to-back championships are bloody hard, and maybe that's a reason why Kerry struggled yesterday, is that trying to get themselves back up to that height again this year is going to be an ongoing challenge throughout 2026.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Let's be having you. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. Vidi Perth, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Dara, how are you?
Sure. How are things?
Happy Easter belated to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Anything interesting? Good? No.
No.
What was your favourite resurrection over the weekend?
NASA.
Oh, yeah?
Artemis 2. I haven't seen much of it now, but I just saw this morning that they've gone to the other side of the moon, so they've lost contact with Earth. Planned.
They're back.
They're back now, are
yeah.
they? Oh, very good. Yeah,
that says a lot about Bank Holiday weekend, doesn't it? That we sat there watching some of this, because there was nothing really going on.
Yeah. There's plenty of sport, to be fair.
No, I mean, when you got into that Sky News, you're like, okay, I'll watch this to see what's going to happen, and nothing actually overly happened. A few pictures in the moon.
Yeah, no one's ever seen it in human history. Vinny's unimpressed.
What? It's there.
What's the point of this one? This is just to orbit and then see if they can land on it again or something, isn't it?
That's a good question. You need Shane Hannon to answer that one specifically.
Yeah, we'll keep it for Friday,
Let me run through the papers because there's some nice stuff here. The back of the Irish Independent this morning says, Son 2, Father Nil, Kenny Jr. and Dundalk take plaudits to stun St. Pat's. We were asking you about this, Vinny. Owen Kenny, Stephen's son, is he good?
Yeah, he is very good. And he's the level of improvement over the last couple of years has been exceptional. Myself and Stephen spent, 8 years together in Oriel Park? And we obviously trained there as well. And Owen was, so we would have been maybe 8, 9, 7, 8. And after every game, we would leave the ground around 12 o'clock at night. And Owen would be still on the pitch
kicking with
his brother Fionn. But generally, he learned everything about that pitch. Like when we trained, there was times he'd go on the pitch after us, all of that stuff. But I watched him grow up, and it's brilliant to see what he's doing now, and the manner in which he's doing it. He's playing for Northern Ireland under 21s as well, played their last two internationals. Looks like a real late developer because, and actually, in fairness to Dundalk, their academies have started to develop a lot of really good young players coming through. So it's working for them, and he's exceptional at what he's doing at the moment. Strong boy. Looks like the full-time training has really benefited him over the last 12, 18 months.
And what about Dundalk? Before the show, Dara went, what's the story? Are they just good again?
I think that's a reflection of where we are, isn't it? In terms of the league, it almost sounds disrespectful, but it's not. What Kieran Kilduff has done, it's funny. 10 years ago, Kieran Kilduff scored a goal in the 89th minute for Dundalk against AZ Alkmaar, which is a huge part of Stephen's career and where it went, ultimately, where people held him in such high regard to get the international manager's job. But Kieran came off the bench for Dave McMillan that day and scored that goal in the 89th minute. I think Ron Vlaar, remember him?
Oh yeah,
he was marking him at the time. He just gave him one of them, good up, one ahead. A very famous moment, and it was in the Europa League at the time, first point any Irish side ever got, and there's a great picture of the two of them together, and I couldn't get up to Oriel Park last night, so I watched that one on LOI TV, and just to see the two of them go together. But Dundalk were very, very good and could have been a little bit more. You'd be critical of Pats, were very flat, but Dundalk just do, this is where it might sound critical, just do the simple things really well. There's an intensity to them. Bobby Bourne's, Eric Dervin, they wouldn't be household names, for want of a better word, both of them previously being at Galway. They just outwork teams at times. And then they've got the quality in Horgan. Aruby, centre forward, has really started the season really well for them. And obviously, aided and bettered by the likes of Owen Kenny, Daryl Horgan. Yeah, they've got a lot going for them.
It's mad though, isn't it? Because it was just late 2025, really, wasn't it? When the in the future of the club was uncertain.
Yeah.
And now it's like third in the league now and it's playing good football. Haven't lost in the last five games. And it's like, where has this come from? Like you said, though, Kieran Culduff was doing a great job.
It's not uncommon for Irish sides to come from, like Shelbourne, we're a first division club, yeah, and they've been playing European football. If you're going to invest in a club, League of Ireland's not the hardest thing in the world for, like,
pick a Division 1 team.
Yeah, get promoted.
Like Cork,
40%
maybe
of being in Europe the following year. The rest is history. Yeah, so.
Cork riding high in the First Division as it stands. Let's hear from Stephen Bradley in the aftermath of their come-from-behind victory at home against Shells. So it finished 3-2. Graham Burke scored his 100th league goal. Is this 100th goal? 100th league goal. Anyway, here's Stephen Bradley.
It's not the first time we've seen Jack Byrne to Pico Lopez for a team. It's not the first time we've seen it this season. Maybe a word on Pico. He played for his country over the other side of the world just a couple of days ago. He plays 90 minutes the other night and again tonight. I mean, he's just such an impressive figure, such a best character on and off the pitch for your side.
He is an incredible character because, like you said, he plays two games in Auckland, doesn't go back until Wednesday, and he's fighting with you to climb on Thursday. And you're trying to leave him Elwha for the trip completely. But he's not having it. He wants to play, he wants to be involved, and that's all down to him and how he lives his life and how he recovers, prepares for games. He's dedicated to his craft and special character.
The man just standing over your shoulder, Graham Burke, got the third, is 100 competitive goal for the club. How important is he in the history of this club now?
I think Graham will be regarded as one of the best to ever play for this club. He'll be up there with the likes of Papu and people speak about legend at this football club. Graham belongs in that conversation. For a centre forward who's not an early centre forward to have 100 goals like Graham does is incredible. And there's many more to come. Hopefully we can get his new contract signed soon and he'll see how his career here and there's many more goals for him to come. But when it's all said and done, I think he's one of the greatest to ever play in the country and definitely one of the greatest to play for this football.
Well, that's pretty high praise.
Yeah, it is, and I understand it. I think himself and Jack, obviously, are the two best players. Graham doesn't always play and he comes off quite a lot, but I remember he was at Villa, he came back. I know he trained with us for a week or two, but he was always going to go at Dundalk, he was always going to go to Rovers, I think, ended up there. But just one of those sort of classy players. The challenge for Graham may be in that to go to the next level in England. He may, because he hasn't got those physical attributes to drop down a level or two, so he probably wasn't suited to, you know, lower end championship, even the championship, the demands it's needed, League One. But he's just come back and being a star, and there's nothing wrong with that. And Stephen Bradley's right. I think he's right up there with all the sort of greats. And you go and watch him. And depends on your want or your love of sort of stylistic, but you go in there and watch him and he just loses class all the time. For me, technically, himself, Patrick McElhenney, Jack Byrne have probably been technically the best players in the last sort of 10, 15 years.
He's talking about one more contract and finishing out his career, but he's only 32. Like, I'm sure he's looking at people like Pádraig Amhain and going, I've got plenty of time left here.
Yeah, and because he doesn't overly rely on his pace, I presume there's another... particularly if he's going to be at Rovers and they are going to be dominant, I think he can go on a lot longer. And it's just the quality he has, pick out passes. Sometimes the only blemish I have on him is I'd love to see a couple more forward passes, but that's like, I'm talking about really nitpicking about one of the greats. I'm talking about, that's the only thing I'd like to see, but that's not their style and they play a different way. And he's generally at the heart of it, finds all those little pockets of space, but probably loves to operate more on the left. But he always had that great combination between him, Jack Byrne, and whoever the sort of left wing back is. And it's so hard to mark, so hard to stop. And I'll probably have nightmares about Graham Burke for the next sort of how long as I'm on the planet. Him, Jack Byrne, ultimately. Ended my career in their own little way.
A specific game?
No, it wasn't. It was over time. But like, we probably, And again, it'll feel like it was a game we lost, and I'd struggled to watch it back. But we the 3-2 Dundalk against Shamrock Rovers in Tallaght Stadium. I mean, there's been better games in terms of 4-3s and different things for quality. Rovers were at their peak at that stage, and we were just slightly coming off it, ever so slightly. But that for me is still the best. From a quality, from everything point of view, what was riding on it was a week before the start of COVID. So it would have been 2019. Is that right? No, 2020. Started, yeah. 2020. It would have been April, sort of early February, March, maybe April, March, around that, yeah, time. March, it would have been March. Anyone ever watches that game back, you'd see one of the best games of football League One has ever produced from a quality point of view. And the two of them are right at the heart of it.
It's from Rovers' perspective, the fact that they were able to get Jack Byrne back and make that piece means that they do have strength and depth. They're clearly not at their best yet, and they're still able to stay in touch with everybody at the top of the table. We know that they can be streaky, that there's a periodisation happens. They'll say that they didn't get much of a pre-season because, yeah, the way last season worked. So we haven't seen them flex their muscles yet at all.
No, there's an element of that. There's an element of, I think they're weakened this year, and I think they were weakened last year. I don't think anyone is capable, from what I've seen after, 10 games, of knocking them off the perch. I think they'll win the league comfortably now. When you look at Pats yesterday against Dundalk, it was what people might call a typical Pats performance. Everyone expecting this is a real chance to kick on. They were flat. Bowles have just look toothless and up front, you would say, not scoring enough goals to go and win those sort of important games. And then beyond that, there's nobody. Shells, I have a little worry for, in terms of, I think it's going to be a really difficult season. Again, you for Joby's point of view, it has to be a hangover from the European campaign last year. A lot of injuries, so it feels like Rovers will ultimately, they'll probably keep us entertained while they have Europe on, while they've bits and pieces on, but ultimately they'll undo everybody else and win the league, it feels.
Handy enough, you're saying?
I think handy enough, yeah. If they kicking, I mean, they haven't been brilliant so far this season, but at the same time, the strength and depth in their squad, there is a way of playing against them, and I don't think teams overly fear them the way they used to. We go back to that 2020-21 season, they were absolutely outstanding. There isn't that same fear now, but at the same time, I'm not sure anyone is capable of going and beating them and being consistent, yeah, every week.
They're a non-factor. It looks this season like there's plenty of time to go, but they don't look great at the minute now.
You'd be worried for Shells and Derry in terms of,
yeah,
where the and how the season started. I mean,
haven't won in the last five games.
Yeah, it's really like, and yesterday was just them and Sligo, and the pitch wasn't conducive to any sort of good football, and that's where, you know, we still have to keep pushing clubs to invest in facilities and help clubs. Like, a lot of the pitches, because of our start to the season, summer football, but the start of the season, you can't do a lot of maintenance on them, but we've got to come up with a better solution. So it made for a really poor spectacle yesterday, yeah, it has to be said.
The tabloid papers don't lose on pens. Arteta's inking outside the box. So this is a rondo at training where the players had to pass the ball and also pass an actual pen to would write with between each other. There were multiple pens on the go at the same time. So the Sun has helpfully circled the three pens. And it's fair to say the internet is losing its shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, so are you, Dara.
You can represent the
masses here.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I get all sides of this now. I think after the last couple of games.
Right, there's another thing here. Heads we win, and it's five of them with two balls, and they have to hold the ball up off the ground and keep their heads together. Is there a metaphor there about keeping your heads together?
Yeah,
eyes on the prize,
not losing the heads. Yeah,
yeah.
Come on, Dara, hit us with the internet.
I think, right, so this is obviously an open training session, which they know the media is watching. I just think it's not putting confidence in the Arsenal supporters. They're looking for reassurance. They want to see them working on things. I'm sure they are, but openly we don't know that, because this is what we're seeing, you know, in the papers and, you know, online.
You don't assume that they're working on stuff.
I'm sure they are, but I just think
you think they're wasting their time.
This is just
shit.
The worst time to pull something
what
out
kind of
like that.
Is this?
That is just ridiculous.
Woke. That's what you're
exactly
saying.
Like it's very Liam Rossini-esque. I just think if there was any point in the season not to do this, it's right now. Where they've lost a couple of games, or dropped a couple of points, knocked out of the FA Cup. Look, I know I get their league form is still good. They're still right in the mix for Champions League, but fans are down right now. I'm sure you've seen AFTV. AFTV is back.
I managed to avoid it
in its prime.
No, I'm not. I refuse to watch.
Losing the heads. I just think it's the worst time possible, and it just feels so Arsenal. Like it just feels
like
so inherently
bulb.
Arsenal.
Vinny, your manager here, defend Arteta.
It's. Do you know what? There's part of me look forward to Arsenal making a dog's dinner of this for the fun and the all of that
content
that will come along. But just look at the back of the paper: Declan Rice smiling, Saliba smiling, Havertz smiling. It's unless you've been on a training ground and you have to entertain 25 professionals for possibly 300 odd sessions a year, it is nothing more than a cool down. It's a warm down. It's getting them on the pitch. It's something you do. I remember kicking balls into the bin and the manager saying to me, what do you mean you're going to explain in the session to him? It's the best crack we had all season. It's part of what you have to do. I accept your point about people were going to be looking at it and the timing of it, but it's just, there's a lot worse stuff like that goes on in terms of warm-ups and getting players G'd up. It's just part of the fun. So the fact that it's taken a full sort of page of any of the newspapers nonsense, there's nothing
in it. It is a bit bad, yeah.
There's nothing in it, and it's just, it's not even probably Arteta's decision. One of the S&C coaches have come up with a fun game to get them started, and there's not more than that now.
I think it was led by, I'm forgetting his name now, the left back used to play for Man United, assistant coach.
From Argentina, Heinze.
And I think he led it.
Yeah, and that'll most likely be where, that's the point I was making. It wasn't even Arteta's idea. It, obviously, he signs off on the session, but one of the coaches said to him, we've got 15 minutes, we'll do this, they'll be in with the S&C coach for 45 minutes before that, the physiotherapist. They're not training at the moment. They're just, it's in maintenance mode, and all that is 10-15 minutes, and then he would have moved on to phases of play, bit of shape, set pieces, get yourself in, get fed again.
When you're winning, doing this, it's like, oh, it's increasing bilateral, multifunctional, second order thinking.
Remember going into Leinster and listen to Leo Cullen talking about the leadership group and implementing a bit of a leadership group as one of the learnings from that. And I think it's fair to say that from what I heard subsequently, people thought, like, there was a bit of David Brent about that when we started to lose games. But then two of the players that were in the leadership group have been in a leadership group at one of the most successful clubs in the last 5 years. So you chuckle a little bit at that stuff. So when you win, you're great, you're a genius, and when you lose, you're David Brent.
The Dubs were brushing their teeth with their left hands when they were winning 5 or 6 in a row. None of this stuff actually made them any better, but it was a conversation about like using your brain in a slightly different way. And if people aren't cynical about it, if the team aren't cynical about it, that's all that matters. Fans being cynical, the Arsenal fans, they don't know how good they are.
I remember watching Dubs training, and he played with two. Warmed up with two footballs. A lot of pictures you see with those warming up with two footballs, and the idea would be you could catch with one hand because you might have to be holding somebody off. Now, that's great when Dublin are doing it. You try and get a club team to do that, and you go in, and all of a sudden you lose a few games, and then the manager's like, who does he think he is? Like, it's nonsense. You don't play with two balls in a match. So it's all results dictate whether they're good ideas or bad ideas.
And I think it's also partly to do with the credit in the bank that the manager has with the players and whether or not they... The big thing for Arsenal is that they have their good goalkeeper back tonight. Like, is this not a very simple thing that's happened? They lost two games in the Cup.
I don't think...
They haven't had their best goalkeeper. They've had a lot of pretend injuries for the games that mattered less, right? I don't think Arsenal... I don't think anybody's going to remember the fact that they went out in a shocking manner in the FA Cup if they were to win either of the two competitions that they remain involved in.
I don't think the goalkeeper was their issue against Southampton. I think it was terrible team performance.
Yeah, but there's also a confidence that comes from having one of the best goalkeepers. Everything changes. Everybody plays 5-10 yards further up. Everybody knows exactly where the ball is getting kicked. Everybody knows that, this is a short kick out. Everybody knows exactly what's happening.
It's the same in any league, right? In my brain, let me go back 1 second to Rovers. And the point is, in our league, has anyone got the kahunas to go and win the league off somebody? The one thing I'd love to see or know about this Arsenal team is, if they had to go and win the league, what I mean is, go out and smash teams, you've got to get after it, you're under a little bit of pressure, you're a point behind, or you're 2 points ahead and the team have played on the Saturday, you're not playing to the Sunday. They've just been able to sort of coach by numbers and win it a little bit strategically, that when it's put up against them, you wonder how they're going to go in the Champions League when the money's on the table. When at the FA Cup, they weren't able to get over the line. And will they ultimately fail in most of these things? I think they'll still win the league because of who they're up against. But are they going to be a great team? Because do they know how to go and win the league by chasing it? Or smashing it?
I see Carolier saying the league is more or less done. It's just Champions League. They need to have a closer look at. I actually, and I'm happy to say this on air, I think they'll very well could bottle this. Like, they're 9 points clear. City have a game in hand. Looking at the fixture list, they have to play each other on the 19th. That game is so pivotal. Like, if City win that, that's a six-point swing. Both have tough games in the running. I think City have to play Chelsea. Arsenal have to play Newcastle, Fulham, Crystal Palace. A couple of easy games otherwise. But I think the trajectory of where they're going, I don't think this league's over.
There's somewhere in my brain that remembers Jared doesn't do momentum, isn't there? Somewhere.
He doesn't, he's not having it.
It's a made up concept. Despite what the people he gets in say, Jared doesn't do momentum. Is that right?
It's been a long time since I spoke about this.
Right.
A very long time.
Just don't mind me bringing it back up. But look at Liverpool, the way they finished last season.
Yeah.
Losing to PSG and then the wheels came off and they haven't been able to get going again. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen to Arsenal, but there's just this thing of they need to finish the season well, even though they'd probably win the league ultimately, even if it's falling over the line. And then is there a knock-on effect by falling over the line?
I think once they get over the line, they get the benefit of being champions because the squad is really strong, and you can see that they are somewhat cowed by the atmosphere at the moment. So we'll talk about James Cahill later on and the difference between the two league finals. He makes the point that the crowd does make a difference, and it felt like there was something on the line in the hurling, even though there really wasn't. And I suspect that crowd terrified of the games
is actually
having an impact on the team. And I think next year, if they're champions, that'll be different, and this will be the birth of a team who goes on and is competitive for 4 or 5 seasons, and they have all the foundations in place for it to be, you know, a really young manager who's just won a league. If that doesn't happen,
is he capable of taking the shackles off? That's going to be the question.
I don't know.
He hasn't needed this year. That's my point about.
And I'm not sure he's going to change his style entirely, but he might be able to. Like, bear in mind, Pep thinks he's the best. He's the other best manager in the league, right? Mm. And if he is, and if he then has success to validate what he's been doing, does he begin to sign more of your Eze's and fewer of your more functional players? Maybe. You'd hope that there will be a dividend from winning it. I think that those games in the cups ultimately don't matter. And City are back. Are they? Are they back because they won the cup and they beat that crap Liverpool team at the moment who collapsed? Like, maybe if Erling Haaland starts to score goals at the rate that he was scoring goals at the start of the season.
I think that's the thing, yeah.
That'll be the single difference. That's the only thing that actually has to change, because they'll still continue to concede goals. I just don't feel like City are... I wouldn't be guaranteeing anything with City at the moment. Like, I would be terribly... Mm. So if they play Chelsea next up, would you be really shocked if City were to throw one in where it's like, we're not at it the way we have been?
Yeah, well, they have to continue this form now. That is the thing. And I think if they do, that puts pressure on Arsenal. And Arsenal, historically, not great with pressure.
I suppose City won't win every game between them and the end of the season.
Do you not think?
Current form. And even if, let's say they did, you're expecting Arsenal to lose three more games.
Well, they have to play each other. So there's that. They do have a game in hand.
It doesn't feel like City are consistent enough at the moment to win all the games between them and the end of the season.
I just think that the fans with Arsenal, they have such an impact. And they're, you know, speaking to a couple Arsenal fans I know over the weekend, and they're playing a style of football that no one enjoys. But if you're winning, then you don't care as a fan. But now that they've lost a couple of games, people are starting to get sick of it as well. So the fans are starting to turn slightly. And it is ridiculous that they're starting to turn. But that's what I've heard anyway. So I can... Look, the most likely thing that happens is that Arsenal just about see it out.
Yeah, but to be fair to him, maybe. Because the league has changed as well, he's adapted his team, as in the set pieces element of it, the sort of the functionality of the way the Premiership has gone between a lot of clubs playing a certain way, and the, I don't know whether it's time wasting, but we've now seen the sort of emergence of goalkeepers going down, getting injured again for timeouts. It's we've said it on the show, it's been a trend. I don't know whether Keith Andrews picked it up watching Air League or something, but it's been driving me mad in Air League. And it's just very simple rule change. Just goalkeeper goes off down.
Yeah, you play with 10 men and no goalkeeper for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That changes things, right?
Yeah.
Nobody
unless
does
it. Unless there's a yellow card involved, then down you go. Or do you just build another... We have an arc in Ga. We build an arc in soccer where you can't go near the bench. No one can go over to the bench for while the keeper's getting treatment, and build it 10 feet. So you have to shout on. So you have to give the information that everyone else can hear. Otherwise, you just stop it. Like, and it's basically become a timeout tactical change, and you have to stop it. And it started here, believe it or not, and it's crept into the highest level of the game. I wonder if Keith picked it up watching so much of our football.
Mullins the magician, Emmett's soldier marches to grand national glory. This is the story from yesterday. This is the lead in the Mail today. Emmett Mullins was hailed a magician after soldier in Milan belied his inexperience to produce one of the most extraordinary Irish grand national performances. The 7-year-old had run only 4 times over fences, backed into 6-1 and romped home. So a stunning achievement by all concerned yesterday at Ferry House to win the Irish grand national. Done that one already. Cork's burning questions will be answered in Munster. This is Gordon Manning's piece. We'll talk about that with Seamus Flanagan a little bit later on. Rico Ioane, I thought he was excellent. I'm not. You're not having it?
He played well. He played well.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Even when he does good stuff, everybody's like, ah, oh, but he's not the other lad.
Like, well, it felt like you wanted to criticise the defender instead of saying his sidestep was brilliant. It's like, it feels like people just want to have a bit of a go off him.
Yeah. But
like, it was bad defending, I suppose, but he still, if someone else does it, he calls it bad defending.
Yeah, it was his doing that caused it.
It is also this time of the year that the big players start showing up. So we'll see. I think he did enough to retain his position in the team. Gary Ringrose is back for the weekend, but they're not taking Rico Ioane out now.
It'll be interesting, yeah, because he played much better on the wing when he was pushed out when Henshaw came on. So, but Osborne's been playing very well at 12, so you probably keep him there. Ringrose at 13. But then you have two really good try-scored wingers and JJ Kenny and Tommy O'Brien.
Kenny wasn't even in the squad.
I know, yeah, but he has been the starting winger on that side.
But he wasn't for the big game.
Do you not think he's in the picture?
Pick this weekend, right?
Well, yeah, but that's one game, though.
It's
not the first big game of the season. Like, they've trusted him in plenty of games already, and I think he's a joint top scorer in the URC this season. It'd be hard to not have him included in some fashion.
I presume Hugo Keane returning is huge for them in terms of business end.
It's just assurance and a fullback, yeah.
And is he enough fitness to play the big games over next month?
Well, he played
a couple of games now under his belt. So.
And they started Ryan Baird and he played well as well. So, but I think that, I don't know. It's one of those situations where Leinster won this game in this round last year 60-0 and they won the next one 44-0 or something, and everyone's like, oh, this is incredible. Now everybody's like, oh, they've got problems to fix. Yeah, they do. And so training is a bit edgier.
It's they're in a better situation, I think, as well. Yeah, I think. And Sale, they've got a decent draw going into this. They've avoided the two big French teams. Sale missing probably their two best players in the Curry twins. I know they still have George Ford there, but...
And front row depth, real problem for them as well.
Yeah, so I think you expect Leinster to get through that pretty handily. Then you're looking at Glasgow or Toulon in the semi-final, which is not an easy game, but...
No.
That's what you expect in the European semi-final. Well. So, yeah.
And then the Masters, obviously, this week. Yeah, the Masters and the start of the Ulster Football Championship. Almost imperceptibly. It's Armagh Tyrone, first day out. It's like, none of this fanning around with two Division 3 teams. Like, no. We've got this incredible rivalry from the noughties.
Last year's Masters was one of the best bit of sporting sort of moments the last 10 years. Yeah. But if Rory does it again, like... Are we as a nation, are we still big Rory fans? Like we were this time last year because of what it meant.
I think so, yeah. I think
did the Ryder Cup as well. Like,
I was always like, I never understood it, but I understand why. But are we still massive Rory fans as a...
Have you seen the documentary? So he set up a new production company in partnership with one of the big golf channels. It's a Golf Pass, one of them anyway, and their first production is a look back on last year's Masters where Augusta allowed them to come back and recreate shots from where it was. Now for whatever reason it looks totally different, but they have all these camera angles of him hitting the exact same shot, so it's highly stylized, and his parents are both in it, and his business manager and Brad Faxon, who of course was his putting coach, Bob Rotella. And they have access to all the shots. You actually forget how mad it was. Like, you just remember it was a complete roller coaster, right? But even after he won it, he lost it again. And then he lost it again.
Yeah.
Like, what? I had totally forgotten.
There was an element of a movie script too, wasn't there, in fairness? And that's what probably captured imagination. And you listen to the normal person who isn't a golf fan, and for a week you were still talking about it, so...
Yeah,
how does it live up to that? But
there are all these subplots as well. Was it he was fighting? Who was he paired with again?
Bryson.
Yeah, and he was having arguments with him.
Well,
in some of the holes, and it was like, what is going on?
Afterwards, Bryson was like, "Well, Rory didn't speak to me at all." And then it turns out, I think it was the ninth. They both hit to about 7 feet. Maybe Rory's is 8 and Bryson's is 6. And Bryson's like, "Oh, it's me, isn't it? I'll go first." And Rory's not. It's clearly me. And Bryson went, "Oh, we'll flip a tee for it." And McIlroy says,
"What is this?
This is the Masters. What are you talking about? This isn't some Tuesday where we're playing for a few quid.
Yeah.
So we'll get the referee over, will we, Bryson?" And Bryson obviously knew this. And then Rory sticks the putt and Bryson falls apart. Like, he misses his, and that's him burned off. Couldn't legislate for Justin Rose ripping up the golf course and sinking rakers from 70 feet. And then... on 18, all he has to do is make an easy par from where he is, and he's in the bunker and has a putt to miss it and misses it, and then has the exact same shot again the next time but hits it 3 feet, 2 feet.
Yeah.
And has a tap in. And still nearly. It's like, oh, left side of the hole. But
there's something golf does to a sports fan on a Sunday night late, isn't there, that keeps you up that extra hour, and you're going, need to go to bed.
Yeah.
And it's just every 4 or 5 times a year it manages to just draw you in, but... Hopefully it's something comparable this weekend.
I'd be happy for Rory to win it again, but I prefer if it was Shane, says Fergus Keogh. Yeah, I mean, I think the country would go mad if...
I imagine that.
If Larry was to win.
I want Dolberg to win because his clothes are class. Is that okay? He just looks so... we won't mention his brand, but his brand, everything about the way he dresses is just class.
I'd be happy for... I wouldn't begrudge Justin Rose winning, says Aaron Mush. I think everybody felt
so bad for him.
Yeah, he carried himself so well, and like, seems like a lovely fella.
Yeah, by all accounts, yeah. Like, I think he congratulated Rory straight away, which it'd be understandable if he took a moment for himself to kind of digest what had just happened, because he kind of came out of nowhere. I know he had been playing well, but he wasn't kind of in the top 2 or 3 to the last few holes, and it was like, oh geez, he's storming Rory here.
Aaron Mush is the one who said Justin Rose. Dermot Keenan, morning to Dermot, says, Rory won't win it again this year. It's so open, it could be any one of 30 players to try. My pick is Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah, I know he's playing well as well, but...
What is it about his personal fashion sense?
call it what I see. His stylistically, he's wearing all that Adidas gear, and so much of it is retro, and it's just classy looking. A lot of it he just looks the part. You'll see him throughout the week, whatever way he managed to hold himself.
Brand ambassador for Adidas Golf.
Yeah,
carries his modern classic fashion sense.
He's only 26.
Only in fashion do you get to, it's modern classic. Well, it's either one or the other.
But would it not be typical Rory to go and say, where we probably don't expect him now, pressure off, to just go and bump, do it again, two in a row?
Like, yes. And totally.
Not in brilliant form, all of them different things.
Could totally rock up and just be like, yeah, I can do this, no problem. Sure, I did it last time. Well, all those years he couldn't do it, I was like, I can't do this because I've never done it.
Yeah.
He knows gear's license, in fairness. I'll give you that.
Who is the favourite? It'd be Scotty, isn't it? You'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at the odds here. Scotty, 6-1. John Rahm, Bryson. Roy's a 14-1. No one expects him to go back to back. But as you say, with the pressure off, he's in probably a better position to win it this year than he is last year in terms of the expectations, and eyes aren't really on him too much in terms of winning it. Like, people will be watching him for sure as the defending champion, but you know, he doesn't have to win it this time.
No. And
go and play.
And look, that itch has been scratched. Maybe he's never got that competitive fire to do this again. And you would say that is the whole reason that he was such a great golfer for such a long period of time, was that he always had that no matter what. Like in the documentary, you know, as an 8-year-old, he said, I want to win all the majors. And he was kind of holding himself to that standard of what he said as an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a different thing, you know.
I often wonder, is that easy to say after?
Because you've got footage of it
I was gone, I wanted to win the World Cup. Like,
You're obviously a failure in Rory's eyes because you didn't do that. Rory's like, I would have been a failure if I didn't win my...
I was out in the field, heading balls in, thought it was Maradona, all of them different things,
It's an elite mindset, but it can be detrimental to your career at the same time.
We probably all said the same thing growing up.
Yeah.
Or fellow hit the hurley, I want to be the next such and such. Or whatever.
But life gets in the way, is what you're saying, really, is it?
Talent gets in the way, yeah.
And we recognise that. The other thing is that the two parents obviously worked three jobs. And they dedicated their lives to helping Rory to get there. And the fact that he emerged on the other side as such a well-balanced human being, when you see so many of them who don't make it at the other side as well-balanced human beings.
That's what always drove me mad about the sort of... There is a bit of our debate around the flag. There has been. It's not. You can't get away from it. That drove me... He always came across as just a sound fella. Like there was an interview with Nathan here maybe a year ago, was it, around the Irish Open, and just... You just tell by somebody, it wasn't overly scripted in terms of his interviews are so good, because I think that's just a sound fella.
Yeah.
What does it feel like? So people want United Ireland, but they want everybody to be forced to embrace something that isn't necessarily part of what they saw as their identity. So we want to just do to everybody in the North what has been done to them by the other crowd. And we're like, well, it's our turn to do it now. Is that the plan here? I see Carlinho in the comments, his very partitionist way of looking at things. Like, Shane Larry's the only Republic of Ireland golfer in the field. He's the only one we should be talking about. All right. Fine. But then you're not actually interested in having United Ireland listening and going, yeah, maybe the flag is contentious. Charlotte Byrne said we're going to need a new flag if there's a United Ireland. I don't care. It's only a flag. Wouldn't it be much better if, like, we had a, you know, shared idea of what the future of the island look like?
Then I presume your man's not cheering for Justin Rose either.
But
or any American golfer at the moment. So who? You know, the world sport and politics have to mix. People don't like that. They do mix, but at the same time.
It's a weird point. Rory's of the generation where it's just so complicated in that it's not a choice that he's made to feel the way that he does. He's been brought up in the surroundings with a certain belief drilled into him from a young age, that he's at a point now where he just is conflicted inherently, and that he's just never going to be able to change that.
My brain's okay with people who, I think there's an element of people that think they're from Northern Ireland. They're not from England, not from Ireland, they're from Northern Ireland. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
If that, if they've had to live through that for 40, 50 years.
800.
It's, yeah, no. The point is, they're, if they're on the planet 40, 50 years and they're from Northern Ireland, it's okay. That's okay.
Yeah,
Ireland, United Ireland, etc., be great and whatever. But I'm okay with people having that mindset.
And the other thing is, we don't actually have to fight over it. We can just be like, okay, you, you feel the way you do, I feel the way I do, but we have all this other common ground, like, which is the vast majority of the things we actually care about. Maybe that's the bit we should focus on. I don't know. It's very naive of me, I realise. But right, it's 10 past 8. For anybody
I
else,
look forward to the comments.
Anybody else anything they want to get off their chest? 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Sorry, Courtney Laws is coming back. Did you see
that? Yeah. Yeah, so he's been out in Pro D2 with Breve, with John Cooney, actually, play for the same team. Kind of thought he would just see his career out. He's 37. So he kind of thought, nah, that's a nice place to retire, Breve. Nice place in France. And you're kind of like, maybe he'll go into coaching over there or something, whatever. But now he's, looks like he's coming back. He's, obviously, he's been linked with Northampton. Haven't been there most of his career. But then also, Leicester Tigers, supposedly interested too. So, I don't know. It's a weird one in that most players at that point in their career don't have that much to offer as a player. But when he left, I think Northampton fans would have been more than happy to see him stay because he was one of their best players that season. And obviously, that was such a successful season for them. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. And is he still in the England setup? Like, is he still?
Well, that's what the whole talk in the English papers is, that it is opening the door for Steve Borthwick to call him back into the squad and go to the World Cup and be there.
Like, yeah, I'd watch a bit of Breve because of John Cooney, and he's been good, but it's just so hard to say where he's at because it's not the same level.
He's got a great agent because apparently his career, he's improved as a player according to the English papers, who I suspect, like, you have seen glimpses as opposed to.
Yeah.
Still in peak physical condition. It's like, yeah.
He looks great. Like, he does look like he's still firing pretty well, but it is just a step up coming back.
Any idea what sort of contract these guys get to go to France for these year or two? I know there's levels to it, but like that retirement fund, if they're not going to the top sides, are they going for the lifestyle? Are they going, like,
I actually don't know how much he would have been on a brief.
He would have been on a decent bit, all right.
But ballpark, what's a decent bit? Genuinely. Like, is he on 150 grand a year, 200 grand a year?
I would, in around, I'd say 100, 150. That would be my guess. I really don't know, but that would probably be the ballpark, I'd imagine.
Because it is a second division
team. But
yeah.
Now, he's their superstar. He's the one that's putting...
Yeah.
That's the thing as well. It's a well-supported club as well. So
I suspect it was more than that, because otherwise he would have stayed in England.
Maybe, if you're a well-educated Leinster player, for argument's sake, who has a degree in whatever, these are decisions they're making. Do I have one or two more years down living in the south of France, playing a bit of rugby, or do I go in and sort out the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Because rugby players, the top players are earning really good money. It's not infinitive money where a premiership player on 60 grand a week can be. That's the difference.
You're not leaving off interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of just thought that was a move that was him done now. He's just running off into the sunset. But I don't even know if that might have been his plan. But maybe he just felt that he's still
got something to offer.
Yeah,
just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back.
Yeah, misses the European rugby.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability, following pharmacist consultation.